Dan's Driving Double Feature presents A Minute to Dismember. Episode 22, Minute 15. Well, Vicky, after having her photo of Frankie torn up by her sister Mary, has gone out for a stroll. She's just walking the street. It's daylight. She's dressed nice with a fun shirt and jeans, and she's just out strolling. Let's see where she ends up.
When did you...
Frankie.
Oh, the love triangle related drama. Minute 15 of A Night to Dismember, apart from those great Vicky, Frankie, which does sound like Doris saying that there, definitely, it doesn't really give us a whole lot. It continues to set up, I guess, that, Vicky loves Frankie. Why not? What a chooch. And they're both wearing their Lee jeans and hanging out. Vicky loves Frankie. Frankie seems to still like Vicky, even though he's going out with Mary. Maybe it's something with them Kent gals. And presumably not those Kent gals we saw get killed at the start of the movie. When are they going to get back to that? Isn't it Bloody October? I forgot what it was. I was going to say Bloody Wednesday. That's a movie. Bloody October? Isn't this the day when all those Kents died? And the thing about this minute is that it starts off during the day. And so I'm thinking, okay, soon they're going to learn about all these other Kents dying, or they're dying right now. And then suddenly, after a great shot of, Vicky walking, shoes, ground, feet going by, classic Doris, we get a shot of the sky, and the camera is looking at some clouds, and then it begins to spin and spin, and then suddenly Vicky's sitting on a little, near the curb, kind of just in the dark. And so, on the commentary, Doris does mention that she lost the footage. I won't go too deep into that right here. And that was her sort of segue from day into night. And, it works. In the world of Doris, it works. And I love the shot of the sky she has just spinning around. I'd love to think that that was just something she shot for a movie and she just had sitting there and was like, let me use that. I'm wondering if that was from another one of her movies. I'm not sure. But the music, there's a moment you hear like a strange synthy stuff going on in the music, and that is the signifier that Frankie is approaching. And obviously he sees Vicky, who's sitting there, and we hear the dialogue, and then he sits next to her, and we see their backs, and then Mary is looking out a kitchen window at them. And I thought Vicky had actually gone for like a walk, but apparently she's still in front of her house. She walked out of her house, walked to the front of the house. Oh, no, because she went out the back of the house. Well, we don't know that. Doris says when we see her leaving in the previous minute, she's going out the back of her house. But we don't know that's the back of their house. And she actually went for a walk to nowhere. I thought she just went strolling and sat down somewhere. But she does look a little sad, but it's nice to have Frankie there. And the minute ends with her kind of putting her head on his shoulder, and it's kind of sweet. What is Mary up to? She does not look happy. And she, it turns out she was right. Her and, I was going to say Frankie, I've forgotten the brother's name all of a sudden. Her and her brother were so worried that Vicky was going to sort of show up and usurp something. Family attentions. Love wasn't mentioned there, but clearly the parents in the previous minute are very worried about Vicky. But then she's been in an asylum for, 7 years? But I guess Mary's right, because Frankie is like enjoying sitting near Vicky and enjoying her company. She's a lovely lady. You know, her in the darkness, you don't get that bright or that strange orange on her face that you get when she's in the house, which is good. So there's not a lot that actually happens in the minute, though. It literally is walking, night, sitting, couple words of dialogue, peering at them through the window, and then it's over. What the minute does have, if you heard that music, that music's fantastic. I mean, I could swear, I think there are moments in there where there seem to be two different music tracks playing, and I could swear right near the end it seems like there are maybe like three different music tracks playing. Am I going crazy? But I mean, go listen to it again, because you get that sort of eerie music underneath, and you get the strange synthy noises, and then you get other da-dum da-dum noise, and but that's, but the other music is still playing. It's like I'm dying to know how she edited this, because she's using the music almost like sound effects would be used over other music. I'm wondering if she was just doing it all so quickly that maybe she didn't realize that she had two music tracks going or something like that. I really don't know, but it's fascinating. Go listen to the minute again. When I saw this on the big screen and it's really loud and the images are huge in front of you, you can catch it. You can catch all this craziness on a TV, maybe a huge TV. You don't quite get sort of as much out of it music wise. You really got to crank it to sort of catch everything that's going on. When you do catch it, however, you will love it. Over on the commentary, Doris talks about the transition for a bit, and then she kind of lapses into describing what's going on mode, which, because it's Doris, you know, it's fun. I'd love to have her describe the whole, what she believes is going on throughout the entire movie, even during the incoherent moments. I think, yeah, Chuck says a minute or two ago in the commentary that you have to watch the movie and then come back and listen to the commentary so you can figure out what's going on. To which Dora says, no, I don't think so, Chuck. And it's funny because she doesn't, like, when the crazy stuff is happening during the Bloody October sequence, she doesn't really go into detail on what's going on the screen there. But when one sister is peering angrily at her other sister sitting with her boyfriend and getting close to him, she explains that. You know, the thing that you wouldn't really have thought needed explaining. Yeah, get some explanation. And you know what? I don't mind one bit. I'm all for it. I wish we could have gotten commentaries for every single one of Doris's movies, not just this one. It's only this one, right? She didn't do like Hide Out in the Sun or Blaze Star Goes Nudist. No, I have Blaze Star Goes Nudist. That's too bad. I would love to have heard, could you imagine like a Deadly Weapons or Double Agent 73 commentary from Doris? Sigh. That Blu-ray is beautiful. I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but that's Something Weird video Blu-ray with the three. Well, technically one of them is sort of off on a tangent, but with Deadly Weapons, Double Agent 73, and its sequel, The Immoral 3. They're great. They're so much fun. They are just a hoot. I wish we had more Doris commentaries. Yeah, there's not a lot to talk about in this minute, but apparently I've talked quite a bit. So, yeah, that's a minute 15 of A Night to Dismember, and you got it, folks. This is our third week of Minute to Dismember week. Week to Dismember. Third week to Dismember. Yes, that's it. And we got to have some new end music. How about this?
I lost the footage that should have come in here where it comes from daylight to nighttime. So what I did was, look what I did. I thought it was so great. Look, so from daytime it becomes nighttime. Isn't that great? I think it is.
A stroke of genius.
Oh, I think so. And now it's night. I didn't know how to get there. And I had no footage
to
fit in.
You go up to the end of the street and you turn left and you're there.